welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you?
Going all right. Going okay. Video games. What have you been playing?
I've been playing a little bit of Dragon Quest III. I've kind of held off on the 7 Days to Die because they're prepping the next version update, and every time they do a version update, your save game doesn't transfer over because version updates aren't just like piddly little update this or piddly little update that. They make big changes, which they've always done. So it's just, you know, one of those things. There's no point in playing it because then your save game won't be valid. I've been keeping an eye on Gamescom. I keep hoping there's something that's going to jump out at me and like, I have to play that now. And unfortunately, nothing really.
I see. I didn't know that about 7 Days to Die. How long has that game actually been out for? It's been out for many years.
Very, very long time. It's been at least 10 years.
Yeah, something like that. So it would have launched on the... What console did it launch on?
It was originally a PC only. Yeah, launched December 13th, 2013.
Nice. Cool. Anything else you played?
No, not really. Work's been kind of hectic, and I have a few other things in real life, you know, taking up my time, so.
Adulting, as they call it.
I hate that term. I really hate that term.
What term would you prefer to use?
Just, how about being an adult? Why do you have to... Yeah, this is one of my pet peeves. It's a kiddify thing. It's like nuggies and chalky milky.
Oh, no, I don't say
it's
that.
Like, ugh.
No, I don't say that.
You should be allowed to be tasered if you say shit like that. It's basically the infantilization of adults. It's like, if I had said that when I was 20 years old, I'd have gotten the crap beat out of me.
Oh, that's not very good.
Well, yeah. Deservedly, though.
Right. But no, I don't say the milk or the chocolate thing. Whatever it is that you just said, it's already...
Chalky. Instead of chocolate milk, it's chalky milk.
That's just not necessary.
No.
Yeah. Anyway. Yes, video games. Yeah, I've still been playing with... trying to go from that to talking about Expedition 33. Oh, segues. That's not a segue at all, actually, is it? That doesn't work in any way, shape, or form. At least you made me laugh, though. That's always nice. Yeah, I've got to... I don't know if I can say where I've got to, because I don't know if it's a spoiler. I reached the big thing, although apparently it's not the big thing, because I tried carefully looking up if, like, hey, is this the end of the game? And it turns out there's three acts, which I haven't finished Act 2 yet, because I haven't done the big boss fight. But it was interesting, because all the characters in the game... were like, oh, here we are, here's the sort of big thing. And I was like, is this the end of the game? Because it really felt like it. And what was it? So I entered the area for that, you know, in the open world map.
I know exactly where you're at.
Yeah. And it's funny, this has come up twice now in two different areas, and it kind of made me laugh a little bit the first time. When you're in the open world and you go up to an area and it has like this swirly kind of portal thing, I think that's quite a cool little thing, and it has the name of the area that you're going to go into, and it's like, right, yeah, that's the correct one. And on the last two that I've gone into, it's like, danger, exclamation mark, written in red. And I was like, yeah, probably. there's probably something dangerous in here that might one-shot me or might take out half my crew's health. So I found that kind of like a curious little touch. I don't think it was a case of me being underleveled, because the last one I went into that said danger, well, I got out of it, so that was cool. I went into the area of there's lots of cloths, and you fly around on this circular type platform.
I know exactly where you're at.
That's an area that I was in. Once I got used to, that's the thing with any combat in this game, whether it's the bosses or anything else. Once you get the timing down of parries of like now, that kind of thing, it's not too difficult. But I thought against the thing that has a dress and used a dress as a shield. I thought that fight was very, very cool. If you want to see me do that fight, by the way, I clipped the last 5 minutes of it because I did it by the very, very skin of my teeth, as they call it. It was really, really quite close. And what was the situation I was in? It had like a slice of its health left. I wouldn't quite say a quarter because the health bar was quite big. And my character got a curse put on them. It says, right, so and so will die in 3 turns. And I was like, right, now you know on the game where you're like, okay, now I've got to like really, really think even more about what I'm doing and what I'm using and that kind of thing. So I was like, okay, how can I take down the remainder of this health while also not losing my own health, but do that in 3 turns? And I just about managed to do it. So it was tense and it was tough, but managed to do that. One thing I was trying to do as well is because I use three main characters, and the other two, sorry, can be used as reserves if your characters all die. And I realized I was kind of leaving them behind in terms of sorting out like what they can do and all that kind of stuff. So I did another reassessing of the old Pictos and the abilities and stuff. So that was interesting to do. But yeah, it was like with the last hit, it's like, okay, I got six options. I was like, okay, I've got to kind of just pick the strongest thing in the moment because I didn't really have a chance. Where it's like, hey, if you put this on and you could build this up and do this, I didn't really have like the chance to do that per se. So I just had to go for the strongest thing. But I did it. I did the boss fight in the end. It's interesting when like, because there's actually certain, even in like the big intimidating boss fights, you know, when a massive enemy is like slamming down on you, and you're like, right, damn, I've got to like time that parry. And there was a couple of them that I just couldn't quite get, and I was like, oh god, it's this one. And I was sort of dodging a bit more, which is fine because that's sort of like, hey, if you can't quite get the timing down but you want to not get hit, then you dodge those attacks. And then it started happening that there was like a couple of attacks that the enemy was doing. I was like, right, I've got this timing down pretty easily, and maybe I was taking it too easy because then it started hitting me with them, and I was like, no, what's going on? But yeah, that was all fine in the end. Got through that boss fight, and again, just very cinematic, very brilliant, very artful. And
Now, in that area, did you defeat the two mini bosses?
no, I don't think so.
Okay.
One of them was a mime. That was I don't know if that's
No,
one of
the
the ones that.
mimes aren't the mini bosses. Those are extra things for an achievement slash
They're
trophy.
really annoying, is what they
Oh,
are.
yeah, they're really, yeah. No, the boss, that boss has two mini bosses, and one of the mini bosses you fight, if you beat it, you get a Picto that makes you immune to charm, which is one of the attacks the bosses have.
Okay, no, I
Now,
didn't
it's
get
not
that.
a game breaker or instant win. It's still a really tough boss. It just takes one tool out of their arsenal.
Right, I see. No, didn't manage to get through that one. Or I don't know if I actually found that because I did get a little bit lost in that place, to be
Oh yeah, a
honest.
lot of the big areas like that you get lost in.
And then, yeah, went through the rest of the other bits, and now I'm at the next big fight thing. And I didn't want to start it until I was like actually ready to do it. So we'll see where that leads to. What else have I played? I did try, not for very long, and I'll give my reasons why. I tried Mafia: The Old Country because I had that on rental, and I thought, okay, that's sitting there, and if I finish, sorry, when I finish Expedition 33 and I go to this, if I don't then like this game and then have no games in my rental thing. So I wanted to sort of like, hey, try that, see if I actually like it, and then I have two games that I like. And I'll give you the one thing that happened that made me realize that, like, okay, I'm not actually interested in this. So there was a few smaller cutscenes near the start, and I was like, right, okay, cool, whatever. And I was kind of just like going with the flow of it and doing the very basic gameplay stuff, and even in that very early section when you're basically getting out of this area, there was nothing in the game that was making me go like, I'm interested to continue. And then the first cutscene happened, and within, I don't know if it was my attention span or my actual interest, it felt like more of an interesting. Within the first 20 seconds of the first cutscene, I was looking at my phone, and then I realized I'm not listening to what they're saying. So I was like, right, if I'm not going to listen to the first cutscene of this game, and I just wasn't. I don't know what it was. I just very quickly lost interest in the game. Just kind of, just it just had there was no aspect of it jumping out, thinking, okay, I want to play it for this main reason or something. Because I've played games before where like, the story is not great, but the gameplay is really engaging. Or maybe the other way around, like the gameplay is not really that great, but I want to see where the story goes. Or I like particular characters, or something like that. And there was just, I know I was very, very early on in it. There was just nothing that grabbed me that said you should spend more time with this game. And then I looked up some reviews, I looked up some gameplay and stuff, and it just looked like the same thing I'd played at the start. Because with the Mafia games, I like the first two, they're really good. The third one's not very good at all. I didn't actually finish that one. It got very, very repetitive at a certain point. Second one's probably considered the best. I would probably agree with that. So probably from best to worst, 2-1, I guess, then 3, then this is technically number 4, but I have barely played any of this. I don't know. There was just nothing about it that said like made me feel like I should continue or something. And I didn't see anything that I looked up on YouTube or anything for it that made me think, okay, I should definitely jump back in or something like that. So anyway, have you seen anything of Mafia: The Old Country?
I've seen a couple streamers I follow play a little bit of it, but nothing really jumping out saying, hey, I want to do that. But then again, I never really played the first three games, so.
And even with like the first two characters you get introduced to, or sort of, I'm not really bothered by you sort of thing. So yeah, I didn't hate it, didn't dislike it. It did not grab me in any way, shape, or form. So there was that. Yeah, that's been pretty much everything this week. So it felt like this week's kind of really flown by. So, but there we go. Anyway, that's what we've been playing. Let's move into some housekeeping. We'll see for that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, recently on Entertainment Talk, put out a couple of podcasts yesterday, one of which is talking more specifically about the finale of this show. But I finished The Handmaid's Tale, and rather than doing like a, my normal season reviews, I didn't feel like sort of doing that, but just talked about the show overall and in general and that sort of thing, because it's been a long road with the show. It's been around for a long time. It's been around since 2017, but it's had six seasons, so I've spent a long time with the characters. Wanted to give that kind of like a wrap-up podcast in a way, but more focused on the finale. So it's called Handmaid's Tale Finale Spoiler Talk. So I did that. Plus, there is the sequel series that is coming out. So talked about how it could fit into what that's supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. So you can check that out. Obviously, full of spoilers. It says that in the title. So yeah, it's full of spoilers. And then over on Political Talk, of course, there's a big uproar in the UK at the moment about hotels and asylum seekers and all that kind of stuff. So I talked all about that kind of thing. I talked about some more Palestinian stuff as well, because you can now actually get arrested in the UK if you do a pro-Palestine protest. That's not a hypothetical. That is something that's actually happening, and people have been arrested for doing that, which is silly and stupid, and there's a lot of reasons around all of it, none of which actually make any sense. So of course I talked all about all of that, and then talked about of course that connected to free speech and some other things I was talking about as well. So big political talk over there. Over on the United Cast, of course, the season has kicked off. We played our first out of the 38 upcoming Premier League games, and we've lost the first one to Arsenal at home. Apparently a lot of Man United fans were just okay with that for some weird reason. So yeah, it's very, very weird what's going on with the fan base around Manchester United right now. But our next game is away to Fulham on Sunday, and Sesko should be playing, should be starting. Hopefully we do actually start the game with a striker this time, because it seems like our manager's trying to get rid of all of our players. Anyway, I talked all about that. So that's Man United season kicking off, and of course next week Wednesday we play a Grimsby away, I think it is, in the Carabao Cup. Let's hope that we don't just throw that game away. Anyway, that's Man United at the moment. Over on Gaming Talk last week, we talked about Battlefield 6 and my kind of impressions. I gave my impressions of what happened when I clicked on the beta and tried to proceed. It just didn't include any gameplay. Just an update on that, by the way. I have right. You know when you submit a support ticket for something and you get a responding email that says, "We've received this, we're looking into this, and we'll get back to you." So an acknowledgement of the support ticket. So I think it was the day after last week's podcast where I submitted a ticket. It was either like a couple of days after or something like that. I think it was the next day. I submitted an actual ticket thing. By the way, EA's help menu thing is really not very easy to browse through. And a lot of people said the same thing based on various Reddit threads I got into. But I went through all of that. I submitted an actual ticket and said, like, this is my problem. It's to do with the linking account thing. And then, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday or the day before. Let's just say it was Monday for convenience sake. So I sent it about Thursday, and on Monday received the acknowledgement email. That's how slow this situation is right now. Because usually, at least in my experience, if I submit a support ticket for something, for like different things, I usually get it, what, within a day, maybe within a few hours, sometimes actually straight away with certain stuff. But that was the email that I got 2 days ago, was an acknowledgement of the issue. So I'm nowhere near close to fixing that situation, but that's about as fast as I can go on that. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I run into that a lot. For my job, the state has a contract with one specific manufacturer, and so whenever there's like a hardware repair that we have to call the ticket in for, sometimes it'll take 5 minutes, and sometimes you actually start raising your voices when they've asked you if you've updated the BIOS for the 19th time on the same call.
Yeah.
Which that I am not joking. That actually happened with the last laptop I had to send in for repair. I actually got to the point where I said, "Can you just give me a box to send it into you guys to fix?" And I've been on this call with the tech support guy. Well, their tech support, air quotes, term used very loosely, for about 15 minutes. And it's my job to fix them. And when I can't fix them, then I send it to them. And they see that in the email address. Because you know how, well, you wouldn't know unless you've actually worked a tech support job. When it pulls up your information, it sees where your email address is, one of the things that's part of your information. And it sees a government tech support email address. But apparently, I need to flash the BIOS to get the computer to turn on,
Okay.
which I can't do that because the computer won't turn on. And I am not joking, that has happened to me as well.
Well, you made me laugh twice on the podcast so far, so
Hey.
there you go. Anyway, yes, talked about Battlefield 6 and my loose impressions of it. We talked about Naughty Dog and also Hell Is Us as well. Over on some film reviews, did a must-see review for Fantastic Four: First Steps. Apparently, there's another chair thingamajig happening on the 27th August. It's a rumor. Don't take that to the bank and wait on YouTube, which will be fun because people moaned about it, but then millions of people still watched like a 5 hour straight or however long it was. That's just such a fascinating thing that happened. Apparently, there's like round two of it, so I'm just kind of wondering how many people you can fit into Doomsday. So, we'll see. Over on Breaking Bad, we of course have put out our fresh podcast up to season 3, episode 13. That's the season finale, so we're all completely caught up with that. And I need to speak to David soon because we should be starting Breaking Bad season 4 at, well, at rewatching it, whatever, for season 4 at some point soon. So look out soon for that. What else have we got? Over on the world, Last of Us. I mentioned this last time, but I did a podcast performing lines from the game, which was fun to do. I do want to do that again. I just need to pick which ones to do and find them and all that sort of thing. So look out for that. And that's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's get into some news. Alright, well, I've actually got no screenshots of anything this week because I didn't actually need them, but we had Gamescom today and yesterday, I guess, because Xbox also did a thingamabob as well. What I essentially did was wait for them both to pretty much conclude, I think, and then I searched for Gamescom 2025 on YouTube and see what videos I can find, watch them, and then note them down. So there was a bunch of like very similar looking games as well, and I just kind of didn't really click on a lot of those videos. And there was things like, you know, another Ghost of Yote trailer. I didn't specifically click on that. I'm just gonna play that game when it comes out. And there was like a few other ones. I'm actually gonna do my notes here back to front because it's from the one thing and then to the what seems like the biggest announcement here as well. So one of them that I found was called Healer or Heller, I think it's called, which is a mouse game. This kind of reminded, like, even from the thumbnail, this kind of reminded me of Moss, which is a VR game that I really, really like, especially Moss 2. And clicked on it, watched it, and kind of just reminded me of those cool little like 3D platformers where you're sort of a smaller thing in a big world kind of thing. It's got that kind of aesthetic to it. Kind of a little bit similar to, for those of you that have played Astrobot, when you use the mouse mechanic, when you turn into a small mouse and you can kind of navigate the big world. Although the world's massive around Astrobot anyway, even when he's normal size. Kind of just reminding me of those sorts of games, which is a very, very good thing. Yeah, it looked kind of interesting. They showed a few different mechanics. One where you're like clinging onto the back of this bird at a certain point. One where you're sort of walking across like a rope and that sort of thing. So, don't know that much about it. I think it had a 2026 date on it, so we'll see that at some point again soon. But yeah, kind of looked curious from the opening. I think that's maybe its first trailer, the announcement trailer for it. I believe it did say PS5 on it. I didn't actually look at that, but
I would have to assume.
So that looked kind of intriguing, but it's in line with some games that I've enjoyed before. Those kind of like small scale, big world, whatever, like platforming sort of game. So I thought that looked kind of interesting. Did you come across that one at all?
I saw a little bit of it. I mean, I can definitely see where you're coming from with the whole Moss angle. I do remember Moss.
Love that game.
I never got a chance to play it because obviously I've not really been on the PlayStation side of the ecosystem. That actually was that, I'm trying to remember, was that a VR game?
Yeah, was both of them were, yeah.
Okay, well, that's also why I wouldn't have played it, because I don't do VR.
That was one that you could play with, because you know that certain games move controllers, certain games are DualSense. That was a DualShock game, because it was basically like you played it with the controller like a normal platformer, but you had your head in the small world, or the big shrunk world, like a dollhouse sort of effect. So enjoyed that. That's quite cool. And then I didn't actually double check if this is a Ubisoft game, but it must be because it's to do with Prince of Persia. There was a launch trailer. Now, from my understanding, for the last 15, 20 years of game releases, launch trailer is the last one that you put out. So I was scrolling through these videos, and it comes up the Rogue Prince of Persia launch trailer. And I remember the other one came out, which was it was a weird situation because it didn't like win a bunch of awards, but then because it didn't make enough money, and then the studio got shut down, which was just a really odd situation. Like it got highly praised, the previous Prince of Persia game. It got like highly praised and won like awards at the Game Awards, and then about 6 months later, the studio got shut down or something. It was very strange. Anyway, this is apparently another reboot of it, and I think this one looks even less interesting than this one. I don't really. Like, I don't know if it is a good thing that, because you know when it comes to, let's say Splinter Cell, and everyone's like, please make a Splinter Cell game, and it's like, oh, we'll put him in a mobile game. No, please make a Splinter Cell game. All right, we'll put him in this other thing. No, please make a Splinter Cell game. And they're including, what's his name, Sam Fisher, in like everything but his own new game, for some reason. And then with Prince of Persia, it's like, here's a new version, here's a new version, here's a new version. Because we've now had, I think it's four, I might not even have the correct number, four versions of Prince of Persia, which is the original trilogy, which is the best one, and those games are really awesome. Those are on the PS2. And then the PS3 reboot, which was very different, but had an interesting idea. That was the sort of like wall running focused platformer. And then you had, I think the next one after that was the one I just talked about, the one that got a bunch of awards and stuff. And then this one. There might be other versions that I've forgotten about or not aware of, but like I looked in the, because I thought, okay, what do people think of, okay, another new version of Prince of Persia? And most of them just said, hey, can you please just remake the original trilogy? Which they were doing that at one point, weren't they? They were doing a Sands of Time, because it's Sands of Time, the two, not Towers, that's Lord of the Rings. The two something, and then I can't remember the name of all of them, but Sands of Time was the first one, and I remember they were doing that, and a trailer came out for it, and it looked awful, like graphically, and it just looked like a pale imitation of what had come before. And then since then, they've then rebooted this series twice. So it's like, okay, you're giving us lots of this character in ways that we don't want, and they're not giving us, like, we want Prince of Persia and, like, I want them both to be active characters, but like you're giving us not a lot of a character that we're asking for in his own series, and then you just keep rebooting Prince of Persia. I think if you just keep rebooting this series as well, I think it's just gonna hurt it more and more. Yeah, but this one, like, because I wasn't that into the previous reboot version. Plus, I don't think it had anything to do with Prince of Persia itself, like the actual original story. And then this one just kind of looks even worse. So, but I consider myself a Prince of Persia fan because I did play all three of the games when I was younger, and I love them. So I consider myself a fan. But yeah, you just gotta stop hitting the reboot button for 5 minutes, because you've now rebooted this thing about three times in 10 years or so, and it wouldn't surprise me if in like 18 months or something we get another reboot, because that's just what Ubisoft seems to be keen on doing. So anyway, I don't know if you saw the, I wasn't even aware of this game's existence until I saw the launch trailer of it. So any thoughts?
Yeah, I remember they did the reboot that came out like early last year and
Yeah, it
it
was
blew
last
fell on
year,
its face because it was limited to the Ubisoft pay pay platform. And then eventually they brought it over to like Steam and whatnot, but by then nobody cared anymore. I do vaguely-ish
Oh, yeah, I remember
remember
that. Yeah.
the first three reboots, the first three games getting remade at some point, but I know they died in developer hell, but I don't even remember how long ago that was.
That was at least, I want to say that was at least 2 years before last year's reboot. And I'm just now
I
realizing.
think it was like pre-COVID too. It might be that
I
long
thought it was
ago.
just after COVID, but those like 3 years or so just kind of all blend together, to be honest. So,
Oh yeah.
yeah. I think it was about a year or two before last year's reboot. I've now just realized they've actually rebooted this thing twice in 2 years. So, I wonder if like, so this must have been at least in development when the last one was, because games obviously take more than a year to make. Yeah, they must have been in development almost at the same time then, this reboot and the last one. I know that again they have nothing to do with each other, because I guess the idea of rebooting Prince of Persia but then putting it into the actual story is an idea that's lost on Ubisoft. Because this doesn't look like it has anything to do with the original story, and the last one didn't, so I guess Ubisoft's not bothered about that, but I don't
Yeah,
know.
the new one kind of looks like a Metroidvania style of the original rotoscoped Prince of Persia from back in the late 80s PC game days.
Yeah, something like that. And this is definitely not a sequel or something, because obviously the studio got moved or shut down or whatever it was. Will we see another reboot in 2 years, or the next year they're just gonna reboot this thing once every year? I don't know, but it's just interesting. Like, I don't remember reading anything, seeing any videos about this game anywhere until a launch trailer. So, it just kind of popped up. Let's move on to the next one, which is Hell Is Us, which I gave some impressions on last week, I want to say. Got a new trailer. This one is more of like kind of reiterating what the game is about, which is he's going to look for his family and ends up in this weird place, and then gets this suit with a sword and has to navigate the world. I didn't give my kind of final impressions of the demo, which I think the date for the game was September 9th or something. I liked, because I played past what I talked about last time. I didn't actually finish the demo, but I got to like a particular point with it. Plus, if I was to continue with it's the case of, because your save data also doesn't carry over, if I'm gonna properly play this game, I want to just do it fresh from the start and like, read things properly and all that sort of thing. It ended up getting a little bit disjointed, and not necessarily in a bad way. It just became sort of go here, then go here, and then I like did this. You go through this whole underground part, which is where you learn about a bunch of combat stuff. You come out into this like no man's land style bunker area thing, and then you come out from there. And then I remember I picked something up, and I was like, oh, that's the thing I needed to pick up from where I was at the other end of it. But you get caved in from the other side, so you have to walk all the way around. And then I found a bunch of enemies, and I got a little bit like lost and stuff. That's kind of on me, because the game doesn't make that does make it clear from the start that, okay, we're not going to give you like a map or a guide. We're going to give you like ideas on where to go and use your best judgment, which I think the game did that very well. It just became slightly more open by the end. But I wanted to sort of stop there as well, because if I'm going to play this game properly again, I wanted to just do it from the start and not from where I was. So I'm not out on the game or anything. I'm gonna actually play it and try it. I'm just gonna do it properly when it comes out, as opposed to going through the demo any further. But I got a good enough chunk of it to kind of know at least early on what it is, and I am interested. I just want to play it properly. But that got a new trailer as well, more of like an advert kind of trailer, which was fine. So that looks kind of interesting. I don't know if you saw this trailer or if you've got any more thoughts on Hell Is Us.
I didn't see the trailer, no. And those horror games aren't really games I play, so I wouldn't have been following it anyway.
Fair enough, fair enough. Speaking of horror games, so there's a story I read about a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't bother to bring it up. There was this, and I don't know if the source was like correct or whatever it was, so whatever. And it said that so new, this is to do with Resident Evil 9, which I think is called Requiem, and said that the gameplay is going to be similar to The Last of Us. I was like, okay, that's kind of curious, that's kind of intriguing. And then watch this. So there's a new like trailer that came out with this Gamescom thing. I watched that, and that was fine. And then I watched the actual gameplay demo that they put out, some of which was in, I think, first person. So I skipped that and wanted to see like just the third person part. And I'm not gonna blame the game for this because I don't know where the source came from claiming it was similar to Last of Us, and this unless that was just an opinion piece. But it didn't look to me like it played anything like that at all. Plus, like, the tone, the gameplay itself from like Resident Evil games is just vastly different to from Resident Evil to Last of Us. They're just different games. This game does like taking my Resident Evil thoughts out of the equation. This game does look pretty good for what it's trying to do. I just don't know that I'm interested in what it's trying to do, but I know I said this before. It's quite annoying to me that I can't get into Resident Evil because you look at—I mean, David likes to call me the sort of zombie person, which I guess is fair enough. Not that this is a zombie game, really. It's more of like a—I don't know really what Resident Evil is at this point. But because there's so much of it and there's so much like lore and history and stuff, you'd kind of be forgiven for thinking that like I wouldn't want to get knee deep into this franchise and like you know. All that sort of thing, because when I do listen to like rabid fans, someone like Brittany Brombacher from What's Good Games and stuff, I've heard her talk about Resident Evil, and when I hear people like her talk about Resident Evil, like when 7 came out, when Village came out, with 9 coming out now, and the way that those people talk about the games, I was like, okay, I wish I got and understood why these people like this franchise so much. And it's not a case that, okay, every zombie or infected game has to be, you know, as good as Last of Us or whatever. It's not that case, because there's also things like Dead Space. Absolutely love Dead Space. It's nothing like Last of Us, but I absolutely love Dead Space for what it is, and you know, I praise that game up, down, left and right when the remake came out. But my other issue with it is just like, because it's a bit of a strange approach, because it feels like every single game can be played without consequence of knowing other stuff, but it's like it feels like, and I might have this wrong because I'm not like a Resident Evil fan remotely or anything like that, but it feels like this is a franchise that's sort of okay, you can play any of these 9 games in any order that you want, but then there's also lore that connects them together. But then, because I've played 2, 3, I played a chunk of 4, played all of 5 for reasons I'll never understand. And even from those games, let's say just from 2 to 3, the only connection there was the I think you go back to the police station at one point, but that's just like a location. So I don't get like what the lore is, what the connective tissue is. And I also kind of, when Resident Evil decides to get silly, which it does tend to do, that's when I tend to pull back and just be like, no, I've just not got that like investment for it. But when they do come up with a new one, they go, right, we've got a new idea and new characters, I do get intrigued to see what it is and what it looks like, which I'm trying to do with this one. But I think kind of what I'll do from with these games from now on is just watch other people play them and then not kind of bother playing them myself, because I don't know that I have the interest to do that, and then just watch fans of the series play these games, because that's maybe the best experience I'm gonna get out of them. I just find it to be a very weird franchise itself. So yeah. Anyway, it's obviously this game's made a big splash since it's come out. I don't know what you think of it so far, or if you saw any of the new footage.
I saw a bit of it. I mean, it's like with everything else that I'm not into, I can see why the fans of it are hyped. That's just not my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page, but it's almost because, I consider myself a zombie fan, zombie personal, whatever that means, that I look at this franchise and I go like, I feel like I should or I'm supposed to pay attention or be interested, but it's like there's two halves of my brain. One's like, okay, you don't care about this franchise, don't bother ever looking at it ever again. And then another part of my brain that goes, why aren't you engaging with this more? Because it's supposed to be in the same category of this genre that I like. It does not connect in the same way. Like, you've got things like, I mean, Dead Space isn't really like a zombie game in the same way, but it's got like, the survival aspects to it. So you've got things like Walking Dead, Last of Us, Dead Space. You've got things like the 28 Days franchise. You've got things like Night of the Living Dead. I love all those things in like for the reasons that for what they all do individually.
Yeah, and I play a lot of zombie games. I mean, I'm never shutting up about State of Decay, and I talk every now and then about 7 Days to Die. Those are both zombie games. But the thing is you have stuff to do, and there's zombies. It's kind of like what's the one film in the Cornetto trilogy with Nick Frost and
Oh, Shaun
Simon
of the Dead.
Pegg? Yeah, Shaun of the Dead. It's like that. Everybody's trying to live their lives, and there's zombies you got to deal with.
Yeah, no, I get you. But yeah, it's coming out in February for people excited for it. And look, for those people who are really excited for it, that's I love listening to the enthusiasm for this franchise. I just don't understand it. So,
Nope,
yeah.
I'm with you.
Especially big shout out to Susie Hunter on Twitter and YouTube is where I follow her. She's does incredible work with a lot of the stuff that she does, and has been like, very, very fairly recognized for it and rewarded for it and been given, all that kind of stuff. So big shout out. So just as an example, so for Brittany Brombacher and for Susie Hunter, just to recommend two people that will talk about this and care about this in a different way that I will. So just to recommend those two people. Although if you're interested in the Resident Evil franchise, you probably know who those two people are anyway. So especially Susie as well. So all right, and then the thing that seemed to make the biggest splash, I mean the two biggest splashes was Resident Evil 9 and then this other game, Lego Batman. There's a new one of those coming out, and it looks like it's trying to take the Skywalker Saga Lego game approach, which was that was probably the best Lego game, is you play the Batman game across like the different eras of him. So there was the bit with the car chase in the Batman, and there was some other references and stuff throughout, so I'm guessing you play it that way. It's got a very interesting gameplay idea because it looks like you literally take, not beat for beat maybe, but certainly idea for idea, the Batman, the Arkham gameplay, and you adapt it into Lego, which doesn't sound like something that makes sense, but if you look at the gameplay itself and you look at the way that you're, particularly the combat, looks like that. Yeah, it looks like, okay, when you're doing the combos in the Lego game, that it's replicating some of the same Arkham moves, not at the same speed and the same tone and whatever else. And then it looks like it's just got these open world Gotham parts where you're gliding around, you're using the you're like zipping around all over the place and stuff, and using different Batmobiles at different points, like through the streets of Gotham, which is quite cool. So I'm curious about this. I do think at some point the Lego games did reach a point that they were just kind of doing the same thing, and then the Skywalker Saga collection came out, and kind of they had like, rather than the sort of locked camera and stuff, it was more like a third person kind of Lego game, and it kind of, I don't know if reinventing the wheel's the right word, but it definitely gave the Lego games a bit of a refresher on what they could do. So if this is going to replicate that in maybe the same way, then it looks pretty cool. But I'm curious to see kind of like, as you're going through, how well does the Arkham combat kind of come into it with the combos? It looks like sort of a fun, not that the Arkham games aren't fun, but like a Lego fun sort of version of that, alongside like traversing through Gotham and stuff. So looks kind of interesting. Looks kind of interesting indeed. What did you think of, I'm assuming you saw this as well, this Lego Batman game?
Yeah, I did see the Lego Batman game. I do like it in the sense that it's keeping on brand with the Lego games. Because you got the theme, which is Batman, and then you got the characters and everything in it. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fan service. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Just not really a game I would play, partly because of the age thing, and partly because every single Lego game that I've tried to play has so much grinding for so many squares for all the unlockables. It honestly feels like a second job you're not getting paid to do.
All right. Do you feel like an obligation to do that though when you play these games or?
Not anymore. At one point I did. I was one of those people, going for all the unlocks, going for all the achievements, and then that just kind of broke in me with the game. Where it's just, I can't spend my time doing this.
No, see, I've never tried to do that in those games. I just tried to kind of simply play them for checkpoint to next checkpoint in, until it was finished. I did, by the way, how long ago was it? Maybe like 4 or 5 weeks ago. I was doing the classic kind of look through what's installed on my PS5, and then remembered I had the Lego Incredibles game. Now I love the Incredibles very, very, very much, and I remember trying it before when it came out on the Switch, because I think it came out on the Switch first. I might be wrong about that, but this was many years ago, and something about the game just wasn't very good. And then I tried, and this was in the old style of Lego games, and then bought it for like £3 or something on the PlayStation Store a while ago when there was a sale, and redownloaded that, which took seconds because it was really, really a small game. Jumped back into it, and it just was the same thing I kind of remembered before. But I thought I would give that a shot at the time. I did see some not negative comments necessarily, but some fight back in terms of like, okay, this looks very good, which the idea of it does look very good, like the going through the eras, and especially the sort of you take what you did with the Skywalker Saga games and translate it to Batman. But I did see a lot of comments of like, okay, it looks cool, but it's another Batman game. Can DC make something else? Which is true. Like in the last bunch of years, of course, we had the Arkham trilogy, and then of course Origins as well, and then you had like some of the VR games, which those are pretty good. I know there was obviously the new one for the Oculus or whatever it was. We've had the Spider-Man games, but we're in an interesting spot with superhero games because, okay, we have had like a good chunk of them recently. Like we had, of course, the Avengers game. We had like the Guardians of the Galaxy game. We had, obviously the two Spider-Man games, the Batman games. There are still more, and obviously Suicide Squad as well. If you're just about remembering that one, I just, yeah, it might be tight. Like nothing against, it's nothing against this game. It's just I do agree with sort of, okay, it's another Batman game. That's not in itself a problem, but can we make some game for some other superheroes as well? Yeah, I agree with that. And it's sort of because you have like Flash, you have Superman, or yeah, Wonder Woman. Her game got cancelled, unfortunately, but doesn't stop you making another one. I know we got the Black Panther, Captain America game coming out. But yeah, what do you think of that kind of point? That like, okay, while this there's no not issues towards this, but like, can we make a superhero game for somebody else? For a change.
Well, they gotta make what makes money. And let's
It's
face it,
very
a lot
true.
of those
Batman's
games
very
are
marketable.
not making money.
I guess what you got to do is not do them as live service games. So, because that's where Suicide Squad and Avengers fell on its face. There we go. But no, it does look very, very good, and we'll see what it's like when it's when it comes out. I'm just curious to see kind of, yeah, it just kind of does look like a third person open world Batman game with Arkham-esque combat, but adapted to Lego. So we'll see what that's like. Anyway, that's all my news this week. That's all the interesting videos I found from the Gamescom stuff. Anyway, how about you? What do you want to talk about?
We had a lot of interesting stuff from both the main day, which was Tuesday, and then stuff that came out today. We did get official date confirmation for the Xbox handhelds. That will be October 16th, and this is coming straight from the Xbox Wire news page, so that's not a rumor. Now, no prices have been announced, but most of the quote-unquote rumor experts are sticking with the $550 to $600 and then $800 to $900 for the Ally X. I mean, they look cool. I just could not invest that kind of money. I have that kind of money. I just wouldn't invest it in a handheld when I spent $300 on my Switch and I haven't turned that thing on in almost a year.
Yeah. I know I keep saying this now and again, but I really do actually need to find my Switch because I was looking for it a little bit more the other day and I can't find it currently because I looked up the same store I tried to sell it before and it's not worth as much money. It's still worth a good amount of money to sell, but it's more of a sort of, I need to get to that and get that done before it's, you know, worth $30 or something. So, but
it's never going to lose that value, especially now that they raised the prices of it. And, you know, it's, I mean, it won't be worth like, you know, $200-$300, but you'll still probably get like $150 out of it at least.
I think it was before the price hike that I looked, so that's a good point. But yeah, because I don't plan on turning it on again or playing any games on it, so it's just worth more to me as cash than it is as like a doorstop right now. So but I really do need to find it. But that it is a bit of a price there for the Ally, as they call it. What do you think of the name, by the way?
I think it's stupid. Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's a million things they could have called it. Ally and Ally X. It sounds like airport terminal designations. Right. Like ATF and ATX and JFK and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. I getcha. Could have called it the Xbox. I don't know. But yeah, it is a bit of a price for that. But it does look like it's got some good things on it, like we talked about before. And again, for me as well, as good as the idea is and as cool as it would be to have, I have no use for it because anytime I do anything Xbox related, I am in front of my Xbox. So yeah, but I suppose, you know, if at one day in the future, if things change or something changes or whatever, then it's always an option, I suppose. But like I said before, with all the handhelds, it does look like one of the better ones. So that's cool. I mean, I think it looks better than the Steam Deck. I think it certainly looks better than the Switch 2, which, as many of you know, I have big issues with. The PlayStation Portal looks pretty good, but that's, again, only sort of remote play stuff, which this has got more than that. But
One of the streamers I follow has one of those, and they're always, always complaining about input lag.
Yeah, not surprised. But I'd probably put those as the top two, although Steam Deck I've heard good things about as well. So, but no, it is a bit of a price, and we'll be talking about prices again in a bit on this show. But yeah, vote with your wallet, as they say, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else you got?
Well, a game that really jumped out and caught my eye is from Double Fine Productions. You know, that amazing old school Tim Schafer studio.
Yeah.
Tim Schafer, of course, responsible for games like Day of the Tentacle and Brutal Legends. And in the more modern era, he did the two Psychonaut games, which I know you're a big fan of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to a friend of the show, Nikki Rapp, as well, who voices
Nikki Rapp.
Lily.
Well, they did a extended gameplay for the game they announced during the Xbox showcase a few months back, Keeper. Now, unfortunately, Nikki Rapp won't be in the game because there is no dialogue in the game.
Damn.
It is a puzzle, explore, adventure game with no dialogue whatsoever. And you're a lighthouse with four legs, and you wander around doing puzzle stuff, and you've got a bird that sits on your head that you can occasionally send out to assist in doing the puzzle stuff. And it's a brand new IP, obviously. It's all about organic discovery, and it's one of those things that you just, if you watch the gameplay, it looks really cool. No price yet. That's the one thing all the big studio companies have learned after the whole switch to $80, $90, well, not really, but kind of
Yeah,
sort
thanks,
of
Nintendo.
fiasco.
Great
Yeah,
stuff.
nobody's given prices out until the last minute.
Shitty Joy-Cons and overpriced games. Thanks, Nintendo.
Yep.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, you can watch the extended gameplay footage. Very unique visual style. Kind of like half impressionist painting, half claymation, which sounds weird, but when you see it, it's really cool looking. It's Tim Schafer, so you got the cred for the game build. Depending on the price, I mean, it is, it's not like a game that has a high production cost outside of programmers and staff, so there's no writers, there's no voiceover, there's no motion capture. So I'm hoping it's going to, continue the trend of the AA games coming out very affordably. But we'll have to wait and see until it comes out, which I believe is sometime this year, but they didn't have a definitive date.
This year? Oh, that's cool. All right. Yeah, I couldn't remember what the date was for it either. So, no, I didn't manage to find this new video that you were talking about when I was looking around. But that's cool to know it's out there. Yeah, I was kind of curious about it when they did first announce it. It's a kind of new curious thing to kind of look at. So, again, unfortunate that it won't have Nicky Rapp in it. But then, as you said, it won't have seemingly any voice actors in it. But yep, cool. Just different idea, and sometimes it's. I think I've said this before in a few places. If a developer can't think, and this is a very basic thing to say, but if a developer can't think of something to put in the game, then it can't be in the game. So the outside the box thinking kind of has to happen in that way for certain stuff to progress. And if you don't think of this idea, then you can't do it. And this team did, and Tim Schafer did. So. Credit to them for kind of doing that outside the box thinking, because I would doubt that many, like when you get into those boardroom meetings and go, hey, we're going to pitch a new game, and it's you play as a lighthouse, I doubt that that comes up too much. It's usually, what battle royale game do we want to make next, or what live service game do we want to put out next, what's gonna make us the cash. But you need to have the artful stuff as well as the money. So I'd be curious to see how this does, but from the mechanics that you described as well, made me kind of even more curious and interested in it. So yeah, I'm curious to watch what you watched earlier, and then check out more of it when the time comes up. But no, I really, really, particularly even more so with Psychonauts 2, really, really did enjoy that game. The combat was a bit challenging at points, but that might have just been me. But again, it's just about that creativity, like going into a character's brain and trying to help them, and all that sort of fun, creative stuff that happens in the game. Anyway, what's your thoughts on it?
It looks really cool. I doubt there's going to be like a demo for it unless there's something gameplay mechanic wise that's just so unique that nobody's ever done it before and they kind of have to put out a demo just so people can get a sense of it. But, and if it comes in at a reasonable price, like 30, 40, 50 bucks, I'll go ahead and grab it.
Wouldn't it be on, I don't think you have Game Pass anymore, but wouldn't it be,
Yeah, it would be on Game Pass, but.
neither of us have that at the moment, so I'll probably pick up Game Pass when this comes out, and then play this and something else as well, so, cool, sounds very good. What else do you want to talk about today?
Neat little throwaway, nothing like super serious, more fan service than anything else. They announced a He-Man and the Masters of the Universe game, the Dragon Pearl of Destruction. It's a side scroller, so think graphically and gameplay wise style, very Golden Axe, Altered Beast kind of a thing. The interesting thing is that they're going into more of the comic than the 80s and the badly, very badly rebooted Netflix show. So you've got characters like the Pale Witch Shotoki, the Red Dragon Grenimir, and the Shadow Beasts. So this is a, it's a cool side scroller. It's cool, sky side scrollers are always fun, but this is very, very much a fan service for the people that play the comics.
No, for me with He-Man, I'm like quite unplugged from it. Like, if you asked me any question about He-Man apart from what his name is, I couldn't really tell you anything about it. I do remember when the Netflix show came out and it got kind of mixed to poor reception from what I remember. I can't remember if they actually renewed it or if I don't know what happened with it,
Well, they
but
had a second half of the season, but I don't know if that was
oh,
already
like a
pre-approved.
volume two thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which Netflix is, I know it's a decent kind of experiment thing to do, but yeah, apart from that, I've not heard anything about it for a long time. But I know that it's very, very popular and people really like it. The IP I'm talking about. So.
Yeah, it has a huge following in the comic scene, which is why they're doing so much of the game based off of comic book characters. And I am a child of the 80s, so I did grow up, Saturday morning cartoons with my bowl of cereal and Transformers, He-Man, and G.I. Joe. That was my Saturday.
Good old classics. Yeah,
Yep.
certainly. We were just talking about G.I. Joe on Geek Town yesterday, and because we were talking about their Paramount's IP and things like that, and I said that that was like I know even less about G.I. Joe than I do about He-Man, but again, those things just kind of, well, I could say they weren't of my time, but then I have checked out things that were made before I was born, so. Yeah, just haven't followed those particular franchises. So, but yeah, so it looks good from what you saw,
Yeah,
this
like I
game.
said, it's think like the Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge game that came out last year with the side scrolling and all that.
Oh yeah.
Very much artistically and gameplay-wise in that style.
Nice. All right, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, they got a trailer out for Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, which is a game we've covered a couple of times, but not in the good way. Lots of controversies with it. The last time we covered it was when I sent you that picture and they sent you the default photos for the male female characters and you literally couldn't tell
Oh, that
which
one.
one was
Yep.
which.
Yeah.
And people that ask about that in the forums were getting permabanned. Well, they decided that wasn't enough controversy. We're just going to kick everybody in the dick when they, and this is something why they don't do it. They announced pricing. So the game is going to come out 80 US, so 70 pounds, unless you buy the premium pack, which is 90 US
Damn.
and 75 pounds. And the reason why they do that is that the game has six playable clans, but two clans are locked behind that premium paywall, or you can buy an extra 19 pounds or $22 to add the Shadows and Silk DLC pack, day one DLC, to your base or deluxe edition. So yeah, that doesn't, bode over very well.
Yeah, I don't imagine so. But yeah, sounds like a overpriced, poor
Yep.
situation. So.
And the worst of it is that the DLC and the premium upgrade aren't just cosmetics. The two clans that are locked out have their own unique abilities. According to the article, one has to assume a difference of how you makes a playthrough, because, quote, embrace the shadows as a La Sombra, and no, I'm butchering that, commanding the very essence of darkness to bend to your will. Or revel in the beauty and passage as a toreador, channeling your artistic spirit to captive and influence those around you. So the two clans that they lock you out of have unique gameplay styles.
Hmm.
And that went
Yeah.
over about as well as you would expect. And they also showed the cover art for the box, and it's exactly what you would expect out of a Tumblr blog fan post.
Cool. Yeah. Don't sound very good or very fun. So, yeah. But no, it won't be a game I'm playing or one that I've got my finger on the pulse of. So,
Yep.
but yeah, sound like a, from what we just discussed last time, a bit of a mad, crazy situation, and doesn't sound like they got their finger on the pulse either. So, anyway, what do you think?
I think it was doomed from the start. I don't really want to get into it on the podcast. I'll talk to you about it after we're done. But from the early stuff, they're just not making it for the fans, they're making it for the non-existent modern audience.
Yeah. There we go. All right, what else can we talk about?
Well, I'm done with Gamescom, but we do have a couple other news articles to talk about. Coming from MP First, starting tomorrow, all console versions of the PS5 will be going up in price. The 5 will be 550, the 5 digital will be 500, and the 5 Pro will be 750.
That stings.
So, yay!
Yeah, I saw that. That was what I was looking for with the 5 Pro, because obviously I did a whole podcast on the price and my fun comparison to the PS3, and I saw the 750, and that just that made me feel a particular thing, and I had to like start chuckling to myself a little bit. That just stings. $750 for a PS5 Pro, which again from my own perspective isn't really that much better than an actual PS5. It helps you to play the same game slightly better. And I'll still stick to my original argument, which is the features and value and price of the PlayStation 3 at launch is worth more value than what the PS5 Pro offers at launch. Not what the PS3 offers now, because it's a little bit more, outdated and slower and whatever else. although if someone said like to me, okay, I've got a even if they said they've got a PS4 already and they said should I get a 5 Pro or a 3, I'd recommend that you get a 3 because it's got just more options than what the 5 Pro does. So yeah, I'll have to go and see if that podcast is one of the ones that was affected by the issue that we had. But yeah, I saw the 750 and I was like, okay, don't make me go down that same road that I did before of like comparing this thing. It that to me that just pushes my argument further. Because that's just even when like everybody else who first saw the 700, they were like 700, and I was, in the same camp. What did you say the base 5 was in
550,
550?
and then the
That
Slim is 400, and then the Pro is 750.
Yeah. I mean, all three of those are overpriced for what they all currently offer. So yeah, but just pushing that Pro to 750 is just like wow. Okay, that's
Yeah, and this is a weird thing in that this is the first console generation, literally in the history of video game consoles, to where mid-cycle, all of the consoles have increased in price. The only caveat to that is that the price increases with the Series X, they put bigger hard drives in it. Not enough to really justify the extra $100 for the consoles, but at least something was changed. You can argue back and forth on whether that change had value or not. But it was, that now the Series X, the expensive one, has a 2 terabyte internal drive. And I've never understood people that run out of hard drive space because all you have to do is, you're not playing nine games at the same, well, most people aren't playing nine games at the same time. Just delete it and then re-download it if you want to play it later. That's what cloud storage is for.
Yeah, exactly. So, 750. I can't and won't get over that. 750. Even if it was like 720 or something, that's still, I mean, it shouldn't be anywhere near 700, the Pro. Yeah, that's quite something. Anyway, what else you want to talk about?
Well, the last thing I have is more bullshit and fuckery with the PS5, only this time it's on their shitty build quality. So if you've had an issue with your PS5 randomly shutting down, overheating, or crashing, they're starting to track a problem with the quote liquid metal that they use as part of their thermal compound in the PS5. There's no official statement yet. This is just from a repair blog that's tracking it. The three big things that they're saying is manufacturing defect in the seal, in the factory where it's made, damage during transport or mishandling, bad or inexperienced repair attempts, or prolonged extreme heat exposure, which they've listed as unlikely in most cases. The biggest risk factor, you're going to find this hilarious, is maintaining the PS5 in a vertical position for extended periods of time.
Okay.
Yep.
Mine did crash slightly the other day, and I had to reinstall the two disc games I had. The digital games were fine because I tried Astrobot, but because yeah, I tried to boot up Expedition 33, and it said that like not the save file was corrupted, that would be bad, but something about the installation was corrupted. So I reinstalled those two, and then it was fine after that. I have heard of people's PS5s both randomly shutting off and randomly turning on. That's not happened to me yet, though, that particular thing. Apart from when it cr did crash the other day, it hasn't done anything odd or bad for a while. But no, I've never had it randomly turn off or on. So, yeah, weird.
Yeah, and the repair site has three notes. One is the majority of PS5s probably won't experience this issue. So they're tracking it as an issue, but it's not a massive issue. So it's not a massive production run that caused that. Two, Sony has not issued an official statement on the topic. So obviously, this is just people collecting data. And three, if you suspect a leak, stop using your console and seek professional repair. And they emphasize professional, not some kiosk in the mall with some dude making $9 an hour selling you phone cases.
Yeah, definitely. Just interesting with statements and stuff. It still reminds me of when PSN had the outage for like 2 days, and they never said a word about it, and they still haven't. They probably never will at this point. I mean, why would you acknowledge it now? Because that was like at the beginning of the year, but that was interesting. Cool. Did you say that was the last thing you had?
Yep, that's all I got.
Alright, let's move in some feedback, some emails. If you'd like to write into the show, let us know what you're playing. Did you see any trailers that we may not have seen, or anything from Gamescom that we might not have seen, or anything that you liked, or anything like that? Let us know what you're playing and if you are enjoying that, or anything else like that. MatthewEntertainmentTalk.org, Twitter, social media, eTalkerCare Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. Josh says, sorry if you've been asked this before, we don't have to apologize for that. But how would you like The Last of Us to end, presumably with part 3? And also says, and do you think Naughty Dog will ever remake slash remaster the Jack games? Just to answer your second question first, it doesn't necessarily have to be Naughty Dog that does that, because if you've got a game that's already got, its script and its ideas and whatnot in there, you could give someone like that to like Bluepoint. I would trust them to do that. I do think when it comes to Jack 2 specifically, You'd have to redo a couple of things. Like, you'd have to add more checkpoints and make the weird difficulty a bit different. So there's all that. And then obviously do the normal, like, graphics and controls updates. See, I wouldn't want to, like, pick an ending for, let's say, Last of Us 3, because I mean, there's obviously there's a few theories that have floated around of, like, hey, how could this thing end and all that kind of stuff. But I would just trust, I assume Neil would be the one directing it and probably writing it alongside somebody else, for it's, it's Naughty Dog's and his story that they've told, so them to just give me that ending. Plus I'd want to be surprised as to what it is and not, write it myself, I guess. Like, if Neil, not that this would ever happen, if he said, hey, you got to write or pick the ending of Last of Us 3, I don't know that I would want to actually do that necessarily. Because the chances of me coming up with something that's as good as somebody who's a, professional writer is very low, the chances of those things, that being anywhere near as good. The main theory I have heard, and I don't consider this a spoiler because it hasn't happened in the game, is if the characters that are remaining, so all or some of them, go and find some new fireflies, and they do the surgery on Ellie that was quote unquote supposed to happen at the end of the first game, but it actually happens and she dies and they make a cure. I don't know that I like that idea, and it also kind of fidgets around with the ending of the first game, which is, such a key point and key thing. Because I could sit here now and say I don't think that would be satisfying, but then I don't know, like, if Naughty Dog took that idea, they'd probably do a better version of that than what I'm thinking of. But because that would be a pretty conclusive way to end the whole thing. I do think that, and I'll say when, not if, they do a number three, that will be the last main game, whether they do other DLCs or whatever else with it. But I don't think that you'd get a four or a five. It doesn't feel like that sort of thing. Any thoughts on these two questions? For these two things? Did you mute yourself?
Yeah, I did. I muted myself. Sorry. I'm doing a bunch of stuff here in the background. Yeah, Last of Us. I did play and finish the first game. I never got invested in the story to the point that you did. I've never played the second game. Never touched it. So whatever they do with the story, I'm cool with. I do agree with you on having another studio. I do a third one if they decide to do a third one, because Naughty Dog is going to be busy with their current soon-to-be failure, Intergalactic Prophet Heretic, whatever it's called. So
Right, yeah. No, I mentioned in terms of a different studio doing a Jak and Daxter remake, because that would not necessarily require, like, Naughty Dog's main resources and stuff. But yeah, we'll see if those two things ever do happen. It just is a little bit weird, and I know Crash Bandicoot isn't really theirs anymore. That, like, obviously that's through Vicarious Visions and Activision. That's had its full remake treatment with Crash Team Racing as well, and a sequel. Jak and Daxter's been, like, left in the dust a little bit, and then Uncharted's been, at least 4 and Lost Legacy have been remade, and then Last of Us has had both its games remade. But because I think the next ones for them to remake would, pr and there's been a lot of rumors about this, is doing Uncharted 1, 2, and 3. But then simply taking the technology and stuff from 4 and Lost Legacy in the. That was put into a collection. I can't remember what it was called, but doing that, but basically for the first three games, which are still PS4 ports of those games. So we'll see. That on top of them doing maybe another Uncharted, and then maybe a Last of Us 3, and then obviously they're doing Intergalactic as well. So I think it would make. I think both 4 and Uncharted 1 through 3 remake and Jak and Daxter. Like, if Naughty Dog's gonna be busy with Intergalactic, possibly Last of Us 3 and another Uncharted game, you could handle the other remake stuff off to some, because I don't know, do we know what Bluepoint is doing? I can't remember
not off the top of my head,
what they're
no.
doing. They did Demon's Souls, didn't they? And can't remember if they did something after that, but they're sort of like PlayStation's remake studio. and people really like what they've done. So there you go. Mike says, what genre of games do you think we need more and less of? Personally, sick of so many Soulsborne games and think we need more racing games. Yeah, there are a lot of Soulsborne games, but you know what? They are successful, and the crowd that raves about them really raves about them and does New Game Plus 55 for them. And look, if people, those people that get really, really, really good at those games, fair play to you, because they're not easy. We do have a few too many of those. But then you've also had some good non From Software ones like Lies of P and things like that, which obviously I love that game. And then Elden Ring, obviously, as well. That's not. Is Elden Ring From Software? I can't remember.
I don't know.
And then you have things like, you know, Sekiro, and you've got things like Black Myth Wukong, which they announced another one of those games. But again, it's the industry thing of, hey, that company that's making Dark Souls and Bloodborne and Demon Souls, they're doing that really well. Maybe we should try and do something similar. And then along comes all these other studios that does a bunch of stuff. There aren't a lot of... I think when you do take... Because I'll put it under the sports categories. If you have, like, you know, Forza and Gran Turismo, for example. Like I've been saying all along for things like... Because you could apply that logic to football and basketball and cricket and there isn't a lot of... I mean, most of those... 80-90% of sports games that are made... are made from EA, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got... Okay, you've got Gran Turismo and Forza, which obviously got nothing to do with EA. You've got all of the EA, this, that, and the other for basketball and FIFA and...
Baseball and...
Yeah, all of those
American
series.
Football and other football and...
Yeah. But no, most of them are just the EA licensed games that we get every year. So, like we said, competition's always a good thing to keep them on their toes. I'm not personally sick of there being too many Soulsborne games, but there are a lot of them. But then it's also... other people are kind of doing that in their own way somewhat. I get what he means, but... it's not something I'm personally sick of. But yeah, in terms of... I'm not specifically bothered about there not being more racing games, but again, that's a genre that could do with more competition. Anyway, what do you think?
Yeah, I double-checked, by the way. Elden Ring is From Software.
Uh-huh. Nice.
I personally would like a racing game, but I know that they're, because of the realism factor, that people want that play those games... It's a lot of time and a lot of commitment. Because if you look at the last Forza, not the Horizon, but the one that's more, you know, realism-based, they had however many tracks they had to go to each individual track and digital scan it to get it pixel accurate. And then you got to do that to all the cars. You got to do that because you can tweak equipment on the cars. So they got to calculate all that in. You know, tire pressure, ride height, downforce, you know, wing downforce, wing placement. You get into the weeds really, really quick. So I understand that those games take a lot of time. Now, having said that, we haven't gotten a proper Forza sequel in several years. So I don't know if they're prepping one for launch or if they're just kind of abandoned the franchise.
Mm. Yeah, we'll see. And then lastly, Beth, with more random questions that we've enjoyed, it says, what lore would you both invent? We'll do these one by one, although there's only two. Beth says, what lore would you both invent for traffic laws? I think there should be, I don't know what you would do, but for people that are on their phones in traffic, and I'm talking people that don't have hands-free stuff, like obviously if you've got your phone mounted or whatever, then that's different. But also something for people that go through red lights, because there's still too many people that do that. Just bigger penalties, I guess, more cameras or something, or bigger penalties. But cause I don't know if you, I'll mention somebody popular here. I don't know if you've heard of cycling. I think Cycling Mike or Cycling Mikey. He doesn't do it for his job or whatever. He just does it for the public. When he's on his way to go to work and stuff like that, he films people like that do. He calls them phone drivers and stuff because obviously that's illegal. You're literally not supposed to do that. And then he'll sort of catch their number plate and report them, which is I think he's doing a good thing by doing that. He's putting himself a bit at risk, and somebody did try to hit his bike the other day. Yeah, and they'll sometimes be in his videos where like because he's on a bicycle, and he'll sit next to the car on a bicycle, and he's got this phrase called like a WhatsApp gap, which is where someone's sitting in traffic, and because they're paying no attention to what's going on in front of them, traffic's moving forward and they're not, and then there's some really, really, really big gaps sometimes, and just clear that people just aren't paying attention to what's in front of them. But I don't understand the idea of why you'd want to do that, what want to be on your phone. And I know there's the human distraction phone thing, and we've talked about that before, but like it's just so dangerous. And even if it's a case of okay, you don't care about other people, which I assume they don't, like do you want to get yourself into a car crash or get yourself injured? Because that could happen. But yeah, something to do with both of that, so like phone driving laws, and then for red light stuff as well. So that's something I would like to see. How about you?
Oh, this one's super, super harsh, but that's just because of what happened recently. If I could make a law to where if you cause an accident with reckless driving, then we dump you off on an abandoned island. And if it causes bodily harm or death, that island doesn't have any food, which I know sounds harsh, but 2 days ago, these two guys were driving a semi, what you call a lorry. Down the road. Now they're on a split lane highway. So you got two lanes going one direction. You got a big moat, basically. It's not a moat, there's no water, but a big divot, for water and rain collection. And then you got the two lanes on the other highway going the opposite direction. Well, in the middle of the road, they decide to pull a U-turn
Oh, God.
to go in the opposite direction. And a car that was behind them couldn't stop in time, slammed into their trailer, and three people died. And the two guys that were driving were not in the country legally, yet they still had a legal driver's license. So, yeah, harsh as it is, on an island with no food, that's what you deserve. Because three people are dead because you tried to make a U-turn. And there's photos from the accident, and you just look at it, and all you could think is, what would make you think that was a good idea?
Yeah, it's the why, isn't it? Like, why did you do that
Yeah.
thing? Yeah.
And the state that they got their license in wasn't the state they killed three people in. It was a completely different state.
Okay. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, the moment you said U-turn, I was like, that doesn't sound like a good idea based on what you just described. So,
And I've seen so many people nearly get themselves killed with reckless driving. It's not even funny.
yeah.
It's like, speaking of lorries, this one place I used to work saw this guy in a car, in a really tiny car. Think like a Brit, like a Mini Cooper. It wasn't a Mini Cooper, but mentally think that size. They zoomed ahead of the semi and then jammed on the brakes because of the red light. And this semi had to go into the right turn lane to not turn that car into pancake. And it would have been the semi driver's fault because that car was at a stop at a stoplight and he was driving behind him.
Yeah. Gonna make better choices. But yeah, those are the two things I would do, is something to do with phone drivers or phone people, and then just something for people trying to go through. The red light is the one that I don't understand. It's like, you know that that's there because that's there. I mean, I want to do something in the opposite way for like for people that cross the road when they go, because you know, I talked, when was it? Was it on last week's podcast or one bit before that, when I talked about that woman who I went past and I was on my scooter? It was a green light for me, red light for her, and I knew I wasn't going to hit her. And it was a case of, I'm going to zoom past her a bit. I know I'm not going to hit her. And the I noticed as well, like the moment I went past her, she had like a little, she like jumped a bit. I didn't hit her at all or anything. I didn't cause her any harm. And then she had this kind of like, oh shit, I almost got hit kind of wake up moment, which this might sound like a weird thing, but I kind of think I did a good thing there, because it's like, okay, if that happens to you again, but it's somebody who doesn't care if they hit you, for example, then they might actually hit you the next time. So just kind of to like shock some awareness into her kind of thing. To just describe what this woman was doing for people that might not remember the story or might not have heard it. So I had the green light, the civilians, people walking had the red light, I had the green light, and she still crossed the road anyway. It was just me. Luckily, there was no other cars, because again, she could have been hit by maybe somebody else. It was just me there, and I was like, right, I'm gonna go past her. I'm gonna go clear enough to where I know I'm not gonna hit her. And then it wasn't actually my intention to make her jump or shock her, but she got that close enough that she did get like a shock from it. And she had like big headphones, facing her phone, walking as if like she just clearly, you know, she was just in a complete world of her own. So, like, something for people like that as well, that kind of, I don't know what you could do about that, but and also for something as well that, like, I know on some crossings you don't have to look both ways, even though you usually should, but for people that are crossing the road who do have to look both ways but only look one way, because there's been a few people I've gone past as well that they'll be crossing the road, I'll still slow down enough for them to go past me, but they'll look one way and then cross the road. It's like just, so a lot of the, all these things I'm mentioning though is just coming down to paying attention. Like, just pay more attention to things around you.
A couple of years ago, thankfully this isn't nearly as bad, but I work downtown, and downtown there's a canal that goes through part of the city. And year before last, in winter, somebody who had her driver's license expired four separate times somehow got down to the canal and was driving on the frozen canal until it wasn't frozen anymore, and her car sank.
Oh. Damn. That's what happens. You got anything else you want to add in here?
Nope, I'm good.
Cool. And then last question says, what do you both think of marriage? For me personally, I would do it if, of course, you know, the right person was there and whatnot, and the situation was realistic and stuff. I know you didn't ask about kids, but it's sort of, because, you know, people ask like, hey, would you get married, have kids? It's like a double point sort of question. It's not in the way of, I think I would be a bad dad, although how could you know that you'd be at that until it actually came up. But the interest level in kids is lower. But in terms of marriage, which is it's a commitment, but it's not, you know, as big of a commitment as having a child, because that's like a, you know, to new person that you've got to take care of, one that can't take care of themselves. I understand why people don't do it. I would though, if the situation was good enough, or, you know, seemed realistic and kind of good enough. I know it's an expensive thing to do as well, but again, I'm talking about if the situation was realistic and sensible and the right person, then I would do that. I kind of see marriage in a way of just, okay, you date someone, then you get in a relationship, and then whether it is that you're living or not living together or visiting each other or whatever, that's almost a different thing. And then marriage is almost just, I don't know if it's a weird way to look at it, but it's like the next upgrade part, almost. I know it is bigger than, like, the difference between dating and then having that person in a relationship and then going from relationship to marriage. The second jump is much bigger, but, I would do it if the situation was right. Anyway, what about you?
Absolutely not. In fact, I always tell this, at least in America, in this day and age, marriage is so one-sidedly bad for men that you would be an absolute fucking moron to get married. And this isn't coming from a place of hate this or hate this. This is strictly a numbers game. So let's run down the numbers real quick. They say 45 to 50% of marriages end in divorce. I have a couple of friends that are lawyers. That number is closer to 65. 70 to 80% of divorces are initiated by women. 90% if they have a postgraduate degree. The average marriage length in America right now is 8.6 years. Then you get on like TikTok or whatever, and you'll see women 10, 20, 30 years in a marriage bounce because they're bored. And marriage and divorce, marriage is legalized theft for the man. They just had a statistic the other day came out in just 2024. This is 1 year. In 2024, 992,000 marriages, divorces were initiated by women. In those 992,000 divorces, in total, men lost $32 billion, which means the average man lost almost $35,000. On average, in divorce, men lose 50 to 65% of their total net worth. And if you have kids, it's 10 times worse. Plus, the courts are heavily, heavily favored against women with zero evidence, zero facts. A woman can go to the lawyer, file a divorce, go to the cops, say, he's beating me. The cops will issue a temporary restraining order and kick the guy out of the house, even if he owns it and the deed is only in his name. He is legally kicked out and barred from his own house while she initiates the divorce. It every metric you look at in terms of the bad of getting married, for guys at least, it is absolutely horrible. And then the obvious question is, well, what do they gain from marriage? And you can't say they gain a single thing from marriage that they don't already have in a committed relationship. And it's even worse if you're like me and you live in a no-fault state. Because I mentioned that, the women on TikTok, they say they got bored, divorced, took half his stuff. In a no-fault state, you can walk in, see her getting raw dogged by somebody. She still takes half your stuff. And I know this sounds bitter and hateful. I've never been married, thankfully, but I've had three cousins get absolutely wrecked in divorce court. My one cousin took him 20 years to financially recover from a divorce. And she said to him, 9 years married, she said to him, I want a divorce. I don't love you. And I only married you to get out of my parents' house. And then he found out later she was cheating on him. But again, no fault state, so that didn't matter. She completely alienated his kids from her. So his kids barely talk to him. They're starting now to rebuild their relationship. But you can also go on social media and see all these guys who've been completely destroyed. Their kids never talk to them. And hell, if she lies good enough, you can wind up paying child support for a kid that's not even yours. They did a study. 30% of child support being paid is being paid for children that are not biologically related to the guy paying it. And the more you get into the numbers, the just worse and worse of a deal it looks, because at the end of the day, a marriage license is a contract that incentivizes one person to break it and rewards them for it. It's just a bad deal all around.
I'll take it as a no
Yeah, that's a no then.
then. Fair enough.
And I
Hopefully
know
it.
I'm going to catch a lot of crap for that, and I don't care.
That's fair enough. I mean, I live over here, so hopefully all that
Oh, it's
is
not any
different.
much better in the UK, but
Yeah.
there's just more people over here.
Not
Like
that
I said, I
I've.
watched my cousin in 2 year in 1 year lose $50,000 from his 401k and lose 35 pounds in 2 months from stress from the divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took him about a year, year and a half just to get to the point where where I wasn't, worried I was gonna find him hanging from the rafters.
Damn. Damn. But yeah, hopefully think I mean I'm not in any position for any of that anyway, but yeah, hopefully it's different and better over here. So we'll see if that ever happens, I guess. All right, that's it for. That's a weird note to end on, but that's it for the podcast. Thank you all very much for listening. Of course, if you've got any thoughts on traffic laws, depending on where you live, maybe some of you live in a country that isn't the UK or the US and has different laws or whatever. So let us know about that, and let us also know your thoughts on marriage and other related things like that as well. And also what you're playing and random questions or anything else that you want like that. All right, that's it for the episode. If you want to, of course, support what we're doing, we are on entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms of the same name for TV, games, films, main night podcasts coming up in the next couple of days. What day is it? Wednesday. Again, Weapons is on the table next to be reviewed. Just got to pick a date and time to go and see that. Still very excited for the film, and I've not been spoiled on it, so that's good. I didn't get spoiled on Fantastic Four either, which was nice as well. It's just nice to not be spoiled for films that you haven't seen yet. But yeah, Weapons is next up, and then got to not necessarily pick my next show to watch because I've just finished Handmaid's Tale, but pick the next season review. Finish Expedition 33 at some point, so review that. Of course, there'll be the United cast ongoing. We'll come back next week with another gaming talk and see what's up in the world of video games, and then any other podcasts that happen at other points as well. But yeah, if you want to support what we're doing, you can do that by listening to more of our episodes on the places I've just mentioned for TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. You can use word of mouth social media. If someone mentions a thing we've podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the Afri podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, of course, Geek Town Radio from yesterday. You can go from here to there and get your latest TV and film news. Lots and lots of news over there, including the Paramount stuff we talked about here as well, so you can check that out. And of course, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and get all the TV and film news posts. And of course, you can find us as well on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays, for all the video game stuff that we do. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.